Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
For only love can conquer hate. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp on YAT Radio. It's Breaking Chains.
Good evening. God bless each and every one. There's a time coming up at this present time where history is about to be made. And I don't know about each and every one of you, but we need to be a part of this history. And it deals with voting. There have been voting rights acts that was passed, but never adhered to. Now, there were free blacks that were voting, and the reason I'm starting off just talking about voting in this present election before I really go off into different history dealing with African Americans, and our history began long before, hundreds of thousands of years before we arrived on the continent, what they call America. But nevertheless, it's incumbent upon us to talk about today, but how did we get here? Now, I don't know if many people know it, but there were free blacks that voted in the colonial South Carolina all the way back in 1701 and 1703. Now, different things passed in where the free blacks, some free blacks even owned some slaves. And this was noted in the free blacks with the property of slaves was in South Carolina, where they voted, where voting began to be limited to those who were owners of property. But nevertheless, things start changing later on that even those who were free were limited into what they can do. Now, the part that we know about the Voting Rights Act and about voting came with the Civil Rights Movement, where many folk in the 60s were marching, and the Klans would come out and meet them and keep them from voting. And so many individuals died for the right to vote. And I just think it's very appalling to me that when we don't exercise our right to vote, they had the Freedom Riders, who in 1961 came from D.C. and up north and other places to the south in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama, and were killed. They were Caucasian. Now, I want us to understand this, that there are good and bad in everyone. And I want to be the first to say there are good white folk and they're bad. There are good policemen and they are bad police. There are good black folk and they're bad. There's good and bad in everything. That's just like there are saints and there are sinners. All too often we try to put everybody in the same bundle, and too much I find that they cluster African Americans into one cluster after putting us in poverty and pushing us toward to do different crimes by being in poverty. It's incumbent upon me just to say that wherever there's poverty, that poverty breeds crime. Now, I was talking about those Freedom Riders who came, both black and whites, who came in the early 61. And I can remember this because I was in 51 and I was about 10. And I remember seeing on television when they were killing them in Mississippi. And I remember so well how things come. I remember when we would hear them talk about the SPLC and the SNCC, they were talking about CORE and the NAACP, the different movements for African-American rights that we have. So what I'm trying to tell you that there have been so many movements that set-ins that came about. See, they had the Southern Conference Leadership Conference. That's the SCLC. You know, and what it did, it helped fight. It helped fund Dr. Martin Luther King as his president and fund him to be able to traffic over him and Ralph Abernathy. There are different people who were the first so-called fighters who went out and just really, really fought so hard for us to have the right to vote. Talk about the Little Rock desegregation. They stood up and kept kids from going to school. The Voting Rights Act that they had, and this is what so many people were dog-bitten, hosed down with water and beaten and thrown in jail just for equal rights, just to be able to use the same latrine or bathrooms that that Caucasian would use. Like you were not human, like African-American wasn't human. And it's a shame, and every time I think about when white people, European Americans, Euro-Americans, they deny the mistreatment, the suffering, and the plight of African-Americans and refuse to pay reparation. I think about how hard we have fought to get where we are. And needless to say, when I see how the black youths are killing one another and how we're going to prison and alarm and race. And I know about institutional racism. I know about all these things. I understand. I firmly understand this very well about what's going on. But at the same time, we were created free will moral agents. We don't have to sell drugs at African American, and you will say that whites get away with it. And it's true. The things that they get away with, African Americans are punished for. Now, as I look at it, I talk about the Freedom Riders, the Albany movement, and that was in November the 17th, 1961, and it lasted until August in 1962, the Albany Movement was the first community-based civil rights demonstration. And they had, they had four different groups that were there fighting. And we were organized, and today we're not organized. Those who are organized are trying to get money and are not really fighting for the people. But when we had the SCLC, the SNCC, CORE, C-O-R-E, and the NAACP all contributed to the Albany movement. They were the heart and soul of the movement for blacks in local areas and professional, for us to become professional. Now, I want us to understand about all these people who died, and I'm talking about Jay Meredith, who he was assassinated in Mississippi for fighting for civil rights, for us to be able to vote and to be treated fairly. I find it really, really offensive. I find it so offensive when I hear white folks and our president, and they go around and they talk about people, how blacks and how Colin Kaepernick are, and they talk about how dedicated the soldiers are and how the flag represents these different things. And I find it offensive. I truly find it offensive when they talk about being patriotic, being a patriot, being patriotic to our, be a patriot. Patriotic. I find that the reason I find it so offensive is because simply, and I pray that some Caucasians with bad minds that who have a mind that's very, very corrupt and believe things. I want to explain this to you and those who are listening. The most patriotic individuals in America are African-American men. And I can prove my point by just saying a few things. For every war, even during the Civil War, when whites were trying to split the North and the South started splitting up, which is treason, blacks fought to hold the country together. Coming out of that World War I, went out for war and was second-class citizens, couldn't drink out of water fountains, couldn't sit in certain ways, had to go in the back to eat, couldn't ride in certain places and train. But we went and died on battlefields for a country that hated us. World War II, the exact same thing. The fought in that war, but came back to sharecropping and Jim Crow South, killing and hanging and lynching blacks, the very same people who gave their life on the battlefield. That's patriotism. No one else had to fight for a country that hated them other than African-American men. It happened in Korea. It happened in Vietnam. It's happening in Iraq, Afghanistan right now. What are you saying? What I'm saying is they're shooting us down in the streets. We have a racist, bigoted president right now that do his dog whistle. And those who don't understand what a dog whistle is a silent call, meaning you say something, but all this is really rallying people up. You don't have to say what you want to say. Because a dog whistle, you blow it, you can't hear it because it's at a high frequency. But a dog can hear that whistle. They say dog whistling because the people who he's talking to know stand by after the election. They're good people. He called Nazis and skinheads and white supremacists good people. Well, who are they good for? They're not good for the country. They're not good for to bring the country together. This president will have divided. It's the very same people, and that's why I say even the day after 150 years, and I take it as an insult. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I take it as an insult when people tell me that it takes time. Well, I want to say it takes time. You could build a whole another world in 155 years. You could do so much and all your action to do is being treated equal. Equal access to business law, equal access and fair treatment in the criminal justice system. Working, getting fair pay. This is what we're asking for. Don't, and when we go before criminal judge, don't shoot my children down in the streets. Just recently, a kid was killed. And this is why, and I hear people wondering why they say defund the police. Now, I want to tell you, that's ignorant when people say they're saying get rid of the police department. What they're not saying is that so many kids have been killed that had simple mental issues, and police are not trained to handle that. And at the same time, I remember when I was coming up in the 60s, they were training police to shoot you in the leg and bring you down, not to shoot to kill. Why now is shoot to kill? The guy that recently shot, he was over 12 feet away from them, and he wasn't running at them at the time he was shot. Each one fired at least 7 shots. That's 14 shots. You could almost kill a rhino with 7 shots. So you're not killing animals. You could have shot the kid in the leg. The kid was bipolar. So what they're saying when they say defund the police, when someone calls and it says that someone is having a psychological problem or they're going through something with their wife and it's domestic, send somebody that's competent to know how to de-escalate that situation, not someone that's trigger happy. And during the time of the Vietnam War, in which I went in the end of 69 and 70, I went in the military, people wanted to say they had confirmed kills. And that's what, it's something among whites. A lot of white folk go around and brag how many people they killed. They want to say how many confirmed kills. They've always been warlike people. That's why they were able to come and do a genocide on the indigenous people of America, the Native America. What some people want to call them Indians, but we should call them the indigenous or the Native Americans. You wiped out just about a whole nation of people. You wiped them out. I don't think it's 3 million pure Indians left today, which it might have been at least 70 million all over America when they came, when those so-called settlers came. But what it was, there were terrorists that came to America and gave disease to the people. They killed the people. They took their land. And they went and kidnapped and bought some and kidnapped the rest from Africa and brought them and treated them like they were chattel, like they were no more than cattle. Sold their children out their arm, burned them, whipped them, raped them, gave them disease, and then worked them from sun up to sundown. And then when you ask why, and then treat us like that. When we began to try to vote, we had to fight. People had to die. And when I see people saying they're not patient, it's taking too long, I'm going to leave the poll. No, I'm going to stand there because too many people died. I am a product. I can remember the 60s. I can remember the end of the... I'm old enough to remember the end of the 60s, the 50s, the late 50s, the very late 50s, and the 60s. I remember these things. I remember seeing things. I remember when you couldn't go in a certain bathroom because it was for white only, or drink from certain water fountains. I remember seeing them in JCPenney's and Sears and Roebuck. I remember going with my mother in the store, but your money was good enough to spend. And see, America, and it's still that way, separate and unequal. It's a so-called dog whistle that our current president have been using when he telling people, don't worry about they're moving low-income houses in the suburban areas. It's called white flight. White folk move from the urban areas into suburbia. They move to get from around African-American or either Latino. They moved out and called suburbia. They don't want to be Union. So what the president is saying is we try to hold their pay grade down where they would not be able to move in suburbia. And we're going to make sure, and then if they protest peacefully, we're going to kill them or we're going to beat them. And that's why he's a man of talking about law and order. That's not law and order. The First Amendment to the Constitution is the freedom of protest and the freedom of speech. You have a right to protest. You have a right to protest peacefully. You have a right to be able to speak out against this country without being saying that you're against the country. When African Americans, and this is why I said I don't like people to speak to me as that I'm ignorant. That's my first constitutional right, a constitutional amendment of the constitutional right, is I'm able, but when blacks speak out against the government, you need to go back where you came from. Well, oh, I would beg to differ with you. You need to go back where you came from. You came from the slums of Europe. You was the degraded lowlives of Europe, and they sent you over first to colonize that because other people with money would not come over and starve and freeze to death. So they sent the vagabonds. And so when people talk about how long their ancestors been there, well, you might have stole me from Africa, kidnapped me. And I might be the great, 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 great grandson of a king. But you are a vagabond. You came from nothing but vagabond. Then you tell me to leave and go back where I came from. And you say your people went through Ellis Island. That's a little over 100 years ago. That's in the 20s and the early 1900s. Most African American great grandsons, I could go back, I traced mine back to 1756, and that's not when they came over. That's further as I could go back in, like in a census. 1756. I could trace it back to an African female, where she was mixed, though. They label her as being a mulatto. That means that she had some people, her parents were here before her. Her name was Soliloquy. Her name was Soliloquy. She had a daughter born the end of the 1700 named Desiree. So I understand this. So don't tell me your people came to Ellis Island and struggled. Mine came as slaves and couldn't vote, was like animals, and were beautiful people, and were the original origin of the human race came from Africa. So don't tell me what's going on. But getting back to the voting, I'm praying that African Americans, we don't have to have it shouldn't be, listen at me. It should not be that only when an African-American person is voting, and it happened with Hillary Clinton, when Barack Obama was not running and Hillary started running, so many millions and millions and millions, I'm not talking about 5 to 10 million, maybe over 30 million African-Americans didn't vote. Not 30 million, but so many millions of us did not vote because there's no more than about 48 million of us in America. So many millions of us did not vote, and that would have, if those that didn't vote would have voted, we wouldn't have end up with 45. I want to call him out his name. I want to say something real bad about this guy because this guy, to me, is some coward kid that even someone bullied, and now he has a little money and he want to take a bullet for a pit. But I think this man is no more than a coward. I don't look at him as when you find somebody try to project themselves as being tough. A tough man does not have to project themselves as being tough. You know they're tough. They don't have to blow their horn to say, look at me, just as I feel for to be a Christian. I don't have to carry my Bible with me, and I do not have to have a cross on my neck. It should be by the fruit that I bear. You could tell who I am by the fruit that I bear. This man is no more the a Christian as Satan is a Christian. You could lock his up in cages. You given disease, you already, they need to, after he's out of office, charge him with a crime for killing 120, almost 100, over 100, and, no, what they think, they say 170 million, 160 million people that died. Only if he would have just took and did things and closed the country down and did what he was supposed to do. He said he stopped the people from coming in from China. But he never stopped the people from coming in that were already, that was infected, and they came back to America. When he stopped that, then the people from China, the one that was locked in, all they had to do was fly to Europe and then flying through New York. That's why New York got infested. The reason New Orleans was so badly infected was because people from all over the world come from Mardi Gras. As of right after February, after the Mardi Gras in New Orleans was in bad shape. But they have a strong African-American female who is the mayor there, and she shut it down. And she's still trying to keep things. If they were going to play one of their games at, not in the Superdome, but they were going to play it at LSU Stadium. But she says she'll let a few people come in. But she's not going to let the way. And right now, with things going up, we have a president that say we're rounding the curve. But everything is spiking up. Everything that went up, the beds of hospital beds full again. So get out and vote. I've been saying, crying out to you, trying to explain different things to you, because this is a necessity. Just like the air you breathe is a necessity, this is a necessity for the future of African Americans. And it hurts me so bad that we have some African American with privilege and some that are so naive that they would vote for a person that hate their mother and their father and really hate them. If the only reason he give them a little credence is because they have money and he think that they can go and talk. I've been appalled at different ministers who have said that they are Christian and say they will vote Republican and always use one thing they use. And I want you to understand that I'm not against anyone, but they use the abortion. And when they use the term the abortion, but it's okay, it's not okay. And to me, I don't believe in abortion. I don't believe that anyone should kill an unborn child. But also, I don't believe in shooting down another human being. Murder is a murder, whether you're a baby, a child, a youth, toddler, or whatever, a daughter, older adult, all of it's wrong. Murder is murder. So you can't scream about the murder. I dare you to scream about the murder of the innocent unborn children when you have adults being shot down in the street, being shut down by police. They're shooting them down on the streets of America and never being prosecuted about it. They don't go to prison for it. It's almost like getting a badge, you kill another N-word. And the reason it continuously to go on and on, no one is getting 20 or 40 years for it. I guarantee you, and I submit to you that if you start giving 25 to 40 years to policemen who kill innocent folk, It will stop. It will stop. This is something, and we've never admitted this. The police department really came about as slave catchers. And to keep blacks, when they got free, in their place in the Keep 'Em On plantation, that's where it come from. Now, but even today, the reason African Americans go to jail more than any other folk, because that's where the police patrol. They patrol in the African American community, right around in a Caucasian community and suburb, and see how very few policemen you see. If they're not there, then you can't arrest someone. And that's the problem that we're having. But we're going to have to elect more black judges. We're going to have to elect more black senators and congressmen. We're going to have to try to turn, instead of just having the House being Democrats, we're going to have to flip the Senate, because the reason that 45, I'm not going to call him an orange orangutan, but I want you to understand that the reason he get away with everything he gets away with is because the GOP control the Senate. President Obama tried 8 months, almost a year, to get someone on the Supreme Court, and they said since it was an election year that he should wait until the next president come in. These are the very same people that screamed and had authority over the Senate, and they blocked it. Matter of fact, they never took it to vote on it. Mitch McConnell would not vote on it. But mighty funny, when the shoe was on the other foot, this just a couple of months and a half before they find somebody, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she passed. And they hurried up and put somebody in. Now, they just put her in 8 days. That was yesterday. 8 days before an election. And they wouldn't do it for President Obama. That was almost a year before an election. This is what you're up against. I want us to understand where that voting is power. Because you have an opportunity. And I'm going to explain something to African American, and I pray you listen at me closely. Most of the time, we vote for people, and we don't get that much out of them when we're dealing with white folks, okay? But blacks have always had to vote for the lesser of the two evils. You vote for one that's going to give you a little more than this other person, because the other person is trying to have this racist faction. That's what the president we have now have these white supremacists and white folk who think that they are above other races that are voting for him regardless of what he do. And they are so obsessed with having power and having their own way until they refuse to want to wear a mask. Don't get me wrong. I see so many African Americans are so naive, and some of them know better and still won't wear masks. But we need to really take and get out and really vote. I was thinking about it, and I want different individuals to look up some of the things that I talked about. Look it up. Look up the SCLC. Find out what that's about. Find out about it. Find out what the ACMHR is. Find out about it. And that was the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights. We need to listen to that thing. Find out who James Meredith is. You know, we hear about Martin Luther King, but people don't talk enough about James Meredith from Mississippi, who was assassinated just like Martin Luther King. Let's look at these things. Let's find out. And what's so, let's find out what about these folks that really, really fought for us and gave their life for us to have these rights. Little think about the March on Washington that they had to do in 1963. Little think about, and just not Dr. Martin Luther King talking about Selma, March on Selma, and I'm talking with, I'm on this radio broadcast right now with Pastor Williams, who lived in Alabama. And when they talk about Selma March, so many historical things with the civil rights happened in Alabama. John Lewis, Martin Luther King. And when we begin to talk about, we don't leave out Huey P. Newton. Please don't leave out Huey P. Newton. Don't leave out Diane Nash, Jane Farmer, Stokely Carmichael, Julian Bond, Rosa Parks, even Marion Barry, even if he did have him some cocaine in the room, snorting some cocaine, and they caught him. But others have went down to the wrong way, and we're not going to belittle him. But we need to talk about Mega Evers. We need to talk about those pioneers who went before us to pave the way that we could have it. Talk about Adam Clayton Powell. Look it up. Thurgood Marshall. Talk about A. Philip Randolph, who started the construction, who organized the labor's union and things that we could get different salaries. Let us go back. Let us learn about ourselves. We are not dumb people. You know, let us not. I've been telling my congregation, because blacks have this thing about black kids that are trying so hard to, black kids that are trying to learn and study in their books and to better themselves. We call them people trying to Oreo, that they're trying to act right because they're smart and because they do their homework and they're good in books. And we say that they're trying to act white. You think you're smart. Well, if those kids that study in their books and stuff trying to act white and they're smart, what are you saying about yourself? So the reverse of being smart is dumb. You're calling yourself dumb. Why we can't learn that we need to hit out the book. We need to be scientists. We need to be lawyers. We need to be doctors. We need to be epidemiologists. We need people to, when we go, we need to have people that know about the diseases coming to this country. We need to have people in every field that they have, electrical, chemical, physicists, biochemistry. We need to know these things. And it's inherent upon us to understand about taxation without representation. We be taxed, but we're not really represented the way we should be represented. And these are things that we really, really need to know. And that's why it is so important. That's why we have to learn to vote. Because people are not going to give you anything. If you sit back and don't open your mouth, you'll never get anywhere. The progress we made didn't come from just saying, well, I'm praying. God gave you the ability to pray, but then he gave you five senses to open your mouth. To open your mouth. And do what you have to do. You need to speak. You need to speak out on what's happening. If people are saying that they're Christian, and this is a Christian country, find out why am I being mistreated? Why I'm less than being treated not like you? You say that this country all men are created equal. Show them that they're lying. And don't sit back. I find it too often that so many of us sit back and we let a very few people go to meetings. And I just finished telling my congregation the very same thing, that we will send one person, very few, that is 500 whites, and you have 15 blacks to stand up for the African-American group. And then once you get in the group just where just blacks are, everybody could tell you what they'll say. I can't go to that meeting because what I would do. Well, what you think that I do when I go to a meeting? I go there not being afraid and standing up for you. Why you can't come? And, you know, if you ever turn out numbers that you could do a lot, but we're not. And oftentimes we don't understand the nature of white America. They know things that you don't know because they hid books from us for so many years, and they had a reason that they hid those books from us. The reason they hid the books from us because they know who you are. But long as we are a people who don't know who we are and don't know whose we are, we will continue to be lost. As I think about it, I oftentimes when I first come on the show, I always try to give you a good feeling about yourself and tell you the truth who you are. And these are things that you can look up and find it yourself if you only pick books up, if you only just start studying about genetics, if you study about anthropology, ology, geography, if you really get into studying and don't take everything that the Eurocentric people write. Those who write the book have made the people in the Holy Land and everywhere else be white. Those people were never Caucasian. The first people on earth were not Caucasian. There are no way in the world that you could have dark-skinned people on this earth if there were nothing but Caucasian on the earth. And I will explain that to you. And you could take that to any geneticist, anthropologist, white, and they'll tell you that what I'm saying is the truth. But it takes us just to start picking up books or Bible instead of picking up a bottle. I'm talking about beer, whiskey, wine, whatever. Instead of picking up that bottle, pick up the book. Always have the Bible as your number one book. But there are books that you need to learn about mankind, the mankind what God created. Learn about him, where it was started at. And it tells you that it was started in Africa. When you talk about the Guyon and the Pishon River, that's the blue and white Nile. Your white scholars will tell you that it's talking about the Nile River. Well, the Nile River just don't run over in Arabia and other in Asia Minor. It runs in Africa, the land of Havilah, which is Cush, which is Beldonia. That's Ethiopia, Somaliland, what they talk about in the Bible in Somalia. And then now they do talk about the Euphrates River and the Tigris River, which some say the Tigris is the Ezekiel, but it runs a different direction to be the Ezekiel. You can find that in the beginning of your Bible where it talks about God creating the earth and where the Garden of Eden was located. Now when we start looking at these things, we have to understand the nature of the beast. We have to understand that these people are not going to tell you the truth because the truth hurts. They're not going to tell you the truth about America. I could give you some names right now that even you could look it up. And what people have done, and to show you how we don't do what we should do, is the fact that we don't do any studying because they write things in the books about you. You don't know it because you refuse to pick up nothing but a game. You play games on your television and games on your cell phone, but you won't pick the book up to learn who you are or what foundation you have. So you continue to have low self-esteem because you think that you didn't pay, you never played any important part to society. You didn't do inventions. You didn't discover anything. And that's not true. First problem I'm going to tackle right now with you and things, and I want you, like I said, I pray you have your pencil and paper and just take what I say and look it up. And if I'm wrong, you allow me to be wrong. But I don't believe in come telling you something that I can't verify or I haven't studied. Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to say, when anthropologists and others are looking for where mankind originated, they didn't go to Europe. They didn't go to Asia Minor. They went to Africa because that's where they found the oldest fossils of mankind. When they went to Africa, they found a lady called Lucy. Now, I want you to understand that when they found Lucy, they found Lucy in Ethiopia in 1974. And simply because of her upending of her, the way she walked upright, and in this process of evolution, also because it became a household name about Lucy. And if you want to look what she should be found, she would be found under Australopithecus. Look under Australopithecus Lucy, and you'll find that Donald Johanson and Tom Gray was the ones who were looking for rocks and found a fossil that dates back 3.18 million years ago. I didn't say 300,000 years ago. I said 3.18 million years ago. This is in Africa. This is in southern Ethiopia. So you know that she was an African female. And then they had another group that was studying around Tanzania and things and around the Old Dive Gorge. And the group that was Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey. And they were British paleontologists, and they discovered the first proconsul skull. They thought it was an extinct ape, which is now believed an ancestor to a human because of what they went by. And I don't believe in certain things that they say because I don't believe that a human came from an ape because evolution means to evolve. Evolved means that gorillas or chimpanzees would still be evolving into humans. They found the thing of a lady. She would discover this robust, it's called Zenzanthropus. It was in the Old Dive Gorge in Tanzania, in East Africa, in that Zenzanthropus, East Africa. Several archaeological and anthropological fossils were found in the Old Dive Gorge, some of apes and some of humans, that date back hundreds of thousands of years. While excavating in the Old Dive Gorge, they found different weapons that showed that man was able to make weapons and other utensils hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. I want you two to look into this fact. When Africans were living in stone houses and building skyscrapers, white was still living in caves. But now I want you to pay close attention to this now. Now it's getting to be, it's about to start warming up a little bit. when we start, when they learned about the DNA and how to get DNA off of fossils, they started talking about the maternal inheritance of mitochondria DNA within ourselves. And we found out that all humans have a theoretical common ancestor. Now, this theoretical common ancestor that we all have, well, this was a woman named, her name, they call her Mitochondria Eve. Now, Mitochondria Eve lived about 200,000 years ago in South Africa. And she wasn't, they didn't say she was the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass the mitochondrial DNA down. And as a result of this, listen at me close, as a result of mitochondrial Eve, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to mitochondrial Eve, a black female out of around Southern Africa. Everyone could trace their DNA, maternal DNA, back to that X chromosome, back to Mitochondria Eve. Within her DNA, now listen to this, within her DNA, that of her peers that exist, all genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time, since 200,000 years ago, in different populations all over the world, we've drifted genetically apart and forming distinct ethnic groups, but they still carry her mitochondrial DNA. And to even go further along to show you that it was an African female, that was a man fossil that they found, a male fossil they found, that would have date back to 315 years before Christ in Southern Africa. And he is the closest relative yet known to humanity, common with the female ancestry of Mitochondria Eve. He is the closest, now African, he is the closest to Mitochondria Eve. They know that he was a fisherman and he lived on the cold coast. And he was genetically almost a match to Mitochondria Eve. They found this fossil, in St. Helens Bay in South Africa. And this fossil was found of this man that is a close genetic match of Eve. This was archaeologist Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town is the one who found this fossil, the first human sub-Saharan Africa, which people even today call the cradle of civilization. And just about everyone have to have her DNA. It's an African woman. Everybody has her DNA. Now, this is another most important part that I'm telling you where whites have hid from us for so many years, and why I tell you that if Adam and Eve, or if it ever started with just white folk that God put on the earth, there would be no such thing as black folk. And I'm going to explain that to you. And to go into that, we have to learn to study genetics. And I told you, anthropology, archaeology, and things like that, paleontology. We have to learn to study these things. But when you look into it, then you go to, when you go into genetics or botany, you have to go to Gregoire Mendel, the science of genetics and botany. Now, one of the things that Gregoire Mendel found out, Mendel, is M-E-N-D-E-L, Mendel, found out that dark skin or brown skin is dominant. You know, dominant means above or more stronger. Then light or white skin is a recessive gene. Dark skin or brown skin is a dominant gene. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. blue eyes come from a recessive gene. White skin comes from a recessive gene. Black skin comes from a dominant gene. Brown eyes come from a dominant gene. That's why there are so very few people with blue eyes as compared to all over the world. Mainly their eyes are brown because of the chromosome that we get from our maternal family. But to say that, now listen at this, and I'm about to explain to you what I mean by it couldn't have started the world, the population of the world could not have started by two Caucasians. Listen at me closely, very closely. This is a known fact that out of Africa, which happened about 70,000 years ago. They say that happened about 70,000 years ago out of Africa. Okay, that's when people start leaving Africa and they start turning white. They went through what you call a mutation. They lost their melanin. It was a loss of melanin. They call a skin mutation. It went through a mutation and their hair changed and things. But there are still people in darkest of Africa with straight hair. There are people in Africa that's brown skin or light brown skin, but they're brown. So everyone in Africa is not the color of the people in the Sudan. The people in the Sudan are some of the darkest people in the world, and that's where many people think that we all come from. Now, listen at what I'm about to say. If dark skin is dominant and white skin is a recessive gene, if blue eyes is a recessive gene, but brown eyes is dominant, so the brown eyes, meaning that the brown eyes is dominant gene, that means that it's pure. The blue eyes is recessive, means it's not pure. Now listen at me closely what I'm about to tell you. You could take two people from the Sudan, the darkest people in the world, and come out with a white child and albino. The white race is no more than albinos. Their mutation through their birth, they come out without melanin. Their eyes are different. They don't see that well. This is something. Now, you could see, but you could take, if you take two whites, you never can produce a black child because you can't take two recessive gene or lower gene and make a dominant. But you could take two dominant and make a recessive. And specifically, white or black, you know what an albino is. We know what an albino is, and we know that an albino is a lack of melanin and different things. And you know what a mutation is. A mutation is something that springs off another thing. So I want us to understand. Now you study about Gregoire Mendel and find out what are Gregoire Mendel's three laws. Now, I want to say this before I get into Mendel's three laws. If you go to a zoo, standout thing would be a white rhino because it's albino. Regular rhinos are gray, bluish gray like. A regular elephant is bluish gray, but if it's albino, it's white. The regular tiger, you know, they're orange, it's black, it's color. But if you have an albino lion, it won't be a caramel color. It'll be white. It's an albino. If you have an alligator, and you go to an aquarium, you'll find they have albino alligators. It means it's white. That's the same thing that go with any animal life and human life. When you find something that people call, they're not white, but because nobody is really white, you really, really just pale flesh color. But when you find that all that is an albino, when we black people call a black person that look like that albino, but that's all a Caucasian is, an albino, a off breed of a down breed of an African. That's all they are. And if you say it, you could prove it to them by Mendel's law and let them know their own top geneticists and professors with botanists are the ones who wrote about this. Now this is something that they cannot unearn. They know they're no more than albino. So, and I always say this, use this as an example too. You could take your cell phone and ask how many white people are there in the world today, and you're going to come up with, I think it's 870 million, 800, not a billion. So you're looking up, they make up 11, listen to this, 11% of the whole world. The world, the population of the world, listen at me, is 7.6 or 7.9 billion people. There are more people that live in the continent of Africa. As 1.1 billion people live in the continent of Africa. That's not talking about another 100 and some million that live in the Caribbean and Brazil and South America and Mexico and America and Canada and in Europe. So when you're looking at that, you're looking at almost 1.3 billion people. Then the rest of the world are people of color. So they are warrior people because they know that they can easily be extinct because they're no more than an albino. And yes, I'm saying, and I'm bringing it up. Now, Mendel had some laws that he had, the three laws he had. He said, now, after they left Africa, and then went through this mutation and was albino, turned albino. It's the called the law of inheritance. We are different things from our ancestors, are passed down genes, are passed down us. Some of us may look like our great grandparents. And now, all jokes aside, this is, I'm being serious. I hope I don't look like some of my great grandparents because I have and. I'm a dark-skinned African-American, not black, but I'm dark-skinned African-American. I call myself dark-skinned African-American. But I have 11% white through my genealogy because I have so many of my great-grandparents who were mulattoes who had white fathers, were fathered by white people during slavery time. But the law of inheritance meaning that when they went in Europe, they were no longer breeding, not just breeding, but being intimate with nothing but other albinos. And so they made an albino race, which is what we call European. And then it's the dominance of segregation. When you segregate yourself to one little area, those people that live in that area will be dominated because will be dominant. They're going to look like this one group of people because they're segregated, they're separated from all the other people. And then they're talking about independent assortment. You'll start out who you breed with, and then you can make them a little tanner. And then things like that, that's when they went to Eurasia and start doing some conquest and conquering and start coming about. But we have to understand, and then as I leave this, and I'm going to getting close to winding it down, but after through there, but make sure you do some looking at Gregoire Mendel about genetics and find out that brown and black skin is dominant. If you go by a thoroughbred horse named purebred, certain horses thoroughbred, they were not white horses. They're brown or black. A thoroughbred meaning pure. They're pure bred. And we need to look at that. Go to your Kentucky Derby and see what color the horse is at. Churchill Downs and all these other places that they raise horses and things. Then they say the thoroughbred are racing. You might see a gray horse, but you're not going to see a white horse. And mostly just 99.9% of all horses that they say are the thoroughbred are going to be brown, dark brown. And those who they use to breed, they will not use a white horse to breed. Matter of fact, during World War II, when they started with the German Shepherd breed of dogs, they would kill a white German Shepherd dog if he was born because they said that he was inferior to the other dogs. He wasn't a purebred dog. My sister wanted to buy this guy. He was a breeder of dogs. And it was a Caucasian fella. And he sold them for $800 or $900 a puppy. But my sister wanted a white German Shepherd, and he knew she didn't know anything about dogs. He came out and told her, said, well, they used to kill them back in those days, and that's not a thoroughbred dog. And certain thoroughbred dogs, if you see them, they're going to have very little white on them. They can only have, it's no more than a quarter white on their chest or a little streak. But they can't have much or a little white dot maybe on their feet. And that's how they can tell if a breed is off by having white within them. Now, when I'm going to be talking to you and then about whites in this America thing. Now, when you talk to whites, and you could look this up yourself on your telephone, on your computer, on your laptop, your tablet, or whatever. Find out, you said Columbus, whites are coming over to the Americas around the 1400s, some a little bit earlier, with Amerigo Van Fusen and Leif Erikson. Leif Erikson was the Viking. Amerigo Van Fusen, who America is named after, is not after Columbus or Leif Erikson, but Amerigo Van Fusen. That's who America is named after. But anyway, long before thousands of years, before over maybe 1,200 years or 1,700 years before Columbus ever sailed, at least 1,200 years before Christ. So you're talking about 3,200 years ago. They had a race of people in the Americas called Olmec, O-L-M-E-C, Olmec people. And when you look at the Olmec people, colossal head, which stand from 14 to 9 feet tall, as you look at the large, what they call basalt boulders, they range from 1.7 to 3.4 meters. Olmec is a civilization of ancient Mesoamerica. Some are... Now, they have these different statues, or you could say these things stand almost tall as houses. And you can find them in La Venta, Mexico, San Lorenzo, Tabasco, Mexico, Veracruz. And there's 17 of them found all over in the Americas. And the statue, please look it up. And when you see the carving of the statue, it's a pure African statue head. And it's made out of granite, like rock. It's a big stone, colossal head. But this is who was here 3,000 years. It was 1,200 years before Christ's advent. So you're looking at right around the time of Moses, biblical time of Moses. And I could go even further, but my time won't allow me to go in the Bible and show you that the characters in the Bible with white America, not white America, but the Europeans who translated the Bible, they made everyone from the apostles to the prophets, to the patriarchs, to the people in the Bible that turned everybody white, which there were no white individuals in those areas at that time. They were black and brown people, no white people. Now, even sometime, I never forget, I've heard some whites preach at, when blacks were saying it before he died. I'm trying to think of his name, but he was a top evangelical. He went around and he would preach in stadiums, and he had a common Billy Graham. Look up what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said that Jesus was not a white man. And he knew that the Jews wasn't white. He said they were brown, but he didn't want to say they were African, but he said they had to be brown. And also, if you look up Gamal Abdel Nasser, he said that the Israelites or the Hebrew people were black. He said, we the Arabs refused to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. He wrote this in 1952 about the whites that they put over there now. And what you're seeing in the Holy Land are not Israelites or Hebrews. They are Caucasian from Europe. They're European white folks. This guy's name, Gamal Abdel Nasser, wrote in 1952, and he said it on national television. We, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man lead black? I mean, the original one were black. How can a man lead black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. And that's why the Arabs and other people don't want the people over there, because they don't even belong there. They belong to Europe. So with that said, I'm going to open it up for any questions. If anybody have anything they would like to add to it, or just ask a question, I'm here for the answer, and I do my best to answer any question you ask.
Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for such a powerful show tonight, Dr. Kemp. Like to open up the lines to anybody that would like to ask Dr. Kemp any questions, make any statements. The line is open for you now, 858-357-9137. We'd like to thank those that are listening, but the line is open to you right now if you'd like to talk to Dr. Kemp. God bless you. Welcome to the show. Okay. All right. Well, we thank you for turning us on and listening. I got a question I wanted to bring up, Dr. Kemp. You talked about something in the show about Negro land.
Yes. Whenever you get an opportunity to Google, you could Google it, whatever you want to do to it. The map, 1746 or 1747 map of Africa. You're going to see a part in there, what they call Negro land. It's going to be right above where they're going to say K.M. Judah. And then they say the slave trade or something. And they show it, and it's going to be wrote up that Negro land. Now, and you know what I showed you also, if you take Zondervan dictionary, Bible dictionary of Zondervan, he's white. But he let something slip out. He look up the definition of ham. Now, he reiterates this, and he let you know very blatantly that the whites don't belong really in the Bible because they had left out. This is what he said. He said, the definition of ham is the progenitor of the dark race. Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Canaan is where Jerusalem is. Canaan is where Jerusalem said they are the black race. Now, but he said, Ham was not the father of the Negro race. What did they call the blacks that they brought from Africa to America? Negroes. And where you came from was Ur, the Chaldees of Mesopotamia, which was Sumerians. And they were what they said, if you look up a Sumerian and ask 2,000 years ago what color they were, they're going to tell you they were chocolate. I've never seen chocolate be white. How could Abraham be white if he came from that country that time? They say that they were chocolate. And they even show when the Syrians had taken captive of they were in it's etched in stone where the Syrians laid captive to some Hebrews and they imprisoned them and showed they had a little bit of nappy afro and they had taken them in prison. This is like almost 4,000 years ago when they went into Assyria, man. It's right there. Those things are there, but we don't pick the books up to read. We don't look at archaeologists digging things. Like we know that they got pictures of what they stole from Egypt. Egypt always have been black. I mean, it went into the hands of the Muslims and then into the hands of the Romans later on. But the beginning of Egypt, the pyramids, and all through that, they were black. And they were the first cousin to the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians and the Nubians, which are people from Kenya and things, and Tanzania are right at the same people. They had conquered Egypt. So these people in Egypt that were building pyramids, and by the way, there are more pyramids in the Sudan than in Egypt to this very day. They don't know how to do it, but I did say now they want to say people from outer space build a pyramid because they don't want to say that black Africans build buildings when they were still like cavemen. You was building skyscrapers, Imhotep. Architect, mathematician. Then he was even a scientist and a doctor. One of the first colleges ever found was in Timbuktu, Africa. It's time we pick up books. Let's start voting. Let's start doing that. But most of all, learn about who you are. We are not dumb. And that's why we're in the shape we're in today, because we have let people brainwash us that we're, and we can only be a football, basketball, baseball player, a rapper, a singer, a movie star. No, you have a brain up there in that school that's greater than any other brain that people could even fathom about. Most of the inventions in America and most of like the finding of going traveling to the West Coast, the past going to Oregon Trail, founded by blacks. North Pole, a black person was the first person to go to Chicago. The elevator, the air conditioning, you know, a car. All these things were black typewriters. Machines that make the multi-produce shoes. You name it, we did it. The cell phone come from a black man. But you don't know this. America couldn't have, the telephone wasn't just Alexander Graham Bell. The person who first did it was a black person. He did that and the telegram. We need to get our things straight. They couldn't even have an airplane without Elijah McCoy because he made the lube cup. And you can't fly, you can't drive, you can't go nowhere without a lube cup. Something to oil and all the different parts about these things that were what we're done, dry cleaning and all kind of other things. All this stuff came from us. Red light, the traffic will be in the streets. So it's time that I beg that we go out and vote, but at the same time, I want us to study about who you are, learn about your heritage. Learn who you are. Learn about the inventions of black. learn that you have a brain that can be maybe superior. I don't like to use the term superior because God, I'm a Christian. I am a Christian, and I believe that God created all of us equal, and I refuse to fall in the trap that whites have fallen into with white supremacy. Amen. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that, Dr. Kemp. We get a lot of information, and I do get a couple of emails, people that ask, quote, we have a question. So that was one of the questions that was on the email. So I wanted to bring that up to you tonight. So if you have an email or anything you don't want to talk on the air, you can send Dr. Kemp an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com or webreakingchains@gmail.com. All right. Make sure that you get in here and get your email in. Okay. Listen, I want to, if it's okay, before we sign out, I want to give our health tip out for tonight. When you go to the season, where the seasoning is, the salt and pepper and all that kind of stuff, pick up you some turmeric, brothers and sisters. Get you some turmeric and put it in your cabinet and add it to your spices there. Turmeric is good for arthritis, body aches, all type of headaches. Any kind of pains that you have in your body, you can start taking turmeric and put it in your body and take care of those sore muscles. And women, it aids you in natural childbirth as well, okay? And also, if you have problems with diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, turmeric is good for it, okay? So be sure that you get some turmeric tonight, all right, when you go to the store. Make sure you add that to your list, all right? That's your health tip for the night. Dr. Kim's giving you all your history. So we'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we thank you for turning us on. Back to you, Dr. Kemp.
Okay, thank you. And God bless each and everyone who are listening to us tonight. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Father, we come, Lord, asking first, Lord, that if we've sinned or did any transgress your holy will in any form or fashion, that you would have mercy and forgive us. We know that we're all sinners saved by your grace and your mercy. And we know you sit high and you look low. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless us as a people. Build us up where we're torn down, Lord. Strengthen us where we're weak. Lead and guide us, Lord, in the way that you would have us to go. Strengthen us, Lord. Let us show love for all humanity and all mankind. Let us show that love that transpire from heart to heart. And let it go from place to place all over this world. And, Lord, let us be strong to go out and vote. Help us as a people to bring ourselves to equality with all other races, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, and give us the fortitude to stand tall and to go against all this racism and hatred that's all over, permeating all over the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for doing so many good things for us. Lord, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will continue to protect us from seen and unseen danger. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless Reverend William, Lord, and bless his ministry.
Peace.
Lord, continue to give him the insight to bring on different ministries and programs that help the African-American people, but just not help it. Even this history that we talk about is good because in Caucasian schools and in America today, they refuse to teach the true history. They refuse to teach what others done. They only teach what Caucasians have done. So when I speak, I'm speaking for knowledge and wisdom to go out to no matter what race you are. They never tell those things that the Mexican Americans invented or discovered. Everything, no one else, they don't say what Japanese did. We know gunpowder and explosives came from Japan. They don't write about these things. Everything is what Caucasians did, not what the Japanese, not what other people did that they did over in the Middle East. But everything, only thing that you hear is a lie, what Caucasians have made. And we know that most of the stuff was not made by them, that they robbed and pillaged and took things from other folks. Now, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would just open our eyes that we could see what's going on and stop the killing in our communities, stop the crime, and let us know that we could do better, and let us grow stronger in your word and in your way. We ask all these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. And, Lord, I want to leave everyone out there listening with this. I love everybody, black, white, rich, poor. I love everybody, and there's nothing that you could do about it. God
Amen.
Bless you. Have a wonderful night.
God bless you, Pastor. We love you too, sir. Everybody, we love you. Have yourself a blessed night. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you, Pastor. We love you, sir.
Bless you.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make through it all. No matter what the cost. We're family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm
just trying to be. Late as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
What you hurting me?
Work for peace.
Why work for peace?
I am from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost. We're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
to breathe
family.
Another day.
To breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love you. I love you, my people. I love
my
you, my people.
People.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh, 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 oh,
been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Monday, Breaking Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of valor, brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need to be addressed and confronted. Every Thursday, Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, YAT Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.